starting Advent, as you've gathered from the beginning of this service, with this idea of faith. And I want you to imagine that at some point, just imagine that this is happening to you, that you yourself have longed to have a child. You and your partner have longed to have a child. And you've been praying that prayer for a very long time. And then eventually, you decide it's not going to happen. And so you just accept that and you move on. And then one day, many decades later, when you think you're long past that period of life, a vision comes to you that says, you're pregnant. How about that? And not only are you pregnant, but you're pregnant with a prophet, someone who's going to lead the way in a really important way for humanity. What would that, would you believe it? Where would you go with that? Or imagine that instead you are a very young virgin girl, and similarly, an angel comes to you and says, you're going to have a baby. And not only are you pregnant with this child, but this child is going to make a major breakthrough in human consciousness. In fact, a religion will grow up under the name of your son. Would you believe it initially? No, flat out and clear and honest. A lot of us might go to that place initially, you know? And the thing about this season is, and the characters in it, in this case, who I'm referring to, Zechariah and Elizabeth and Mary and Joseph, is that their journey might have been initially, nope, fear. In the case of Zechariah, there was some fear that moved to hope, and then it went to faith. For Mary, she kind of pretty quickly moved through her fear and went right to, okay, according to your word, let it be done. So we're really going to look more at Zechariah a little bit later. But first I want to say about this Advent season is that traditionally this particular Sunday has been known as the Hope Sunday. And I think we can do better than that. You know, it's not that hope isn't a really great thing to have. It has its place. But hope is a little more human than divine. And so we want to move ourselves into that deeper place of faith in our journey walk. Chopra, Deepak Chopra says that hope stems from the seeds of fear and doubt. And so, yes, it's a part of the process and it's an important part of the process. And we're asked to go reach a little deeper. Certainly for Zechariah and Elizabeth, they had to reach a little deeper in their old age to find out that they were having a child. And Mary and Joseph had to reach a little deeper in the customs and the culture in which they lived to know as an unwed mother she was pregnant, right? And so it took faith for them and it takes faith for us. So about the tree. So I wanted to start out the series with the magic tree, and this sort of links my last Unity community with this one too. At Unity of Columbia in Missouri, we had a man in our congregation who changed his name at Christmas time to Will Treelighter. And it became his just beautiful service, artistic service, and it took off over the town. But initially, we had a Unity tree, like this magic tree, and we had a magic tree in another place in the community. And every single little tiny branch of those trees is wrapped with LED lights of different colors. And so it's just, especially when it snows, it is such a fabulous. People stop, they pull over, you know, if they haven't seen it before, or they make it a destination. And, you know, I've done weddings under the magic tree, and they've been now popping up all over Colombia because he's in demand to do more and more of them. It takes him 40 hours to wire wrap each tree. And he is a deeply spiritual man, so it's for him it's just a very meditative process and an expression of his love for trees. So I wanted to bring a little of the magic of this season to you, and each week we'll have a different tree featured at some point. So thank you, Larry, for jumping around there to make that happen. So on this journey, you know, of Christmas, the Christmas story has something to offer us metaphysically, and so we're reaching back 2,000 some years to the magic of that initial Christmas story that really begins with these incredulous pregnancies. You know, this idea of being pregnant and now gestating through this period, a developing idea of a new form of life that will rebirth for each of us from within each of us and through and as each of us by the time Christmas comes. So we want to be prepared, right? It's a big deal. If you find out you're pregnant, it's a big deal, right? In the outer world, there's a lot to prepare, or so we think. But in the inner world, that's the work that we do here, right? That's the work we want to really be solid in. And faith is a great place to start. And yet, as I've indicated, faith can be a process. So when the angels come to the different characters in the Christmas story, to the shepherds, to Zechariah, to Mary, and to others, every time they appear, they say the same greeting. Be not afraid. Fear not. Before they say anything else, be not afraid. And so it seems that that's sort of the hearken, that's the call, the mantra for the season that begins us off, be not afraid. Be not afraid of what? Of the conditions and the circumstances of life in your personal life and the world. Be not afraid. Fear not. And why? Because I am with you. The I am, that great I am, is with us always. And we come with all the faith we need. You know, we come wired for, spiritually wired for the world. It may not always feel like it. We forget, we remember, right? If you're like me, we have this collective and cyclical amnesia and remembering. And yet when we remember, oh, how good it is, right? Oh, how strong we stand when we remember who we really are. And how clear we are, and how we see life, and how we see each other, and how we see the circumstances before us. It's a completely different seeing than it is when we're in a place of fear or a place of doubt. So fear not what? Fear not those circumstances. Fear not going within even, because some of us even get a little squeamish about that, right? I'm afraid to go within because I'm afraid there's some sadness there I don't want to deal with, or there's some old stuff there I don't want to deal with, or some shadow, some darkness, whatever it is. Or I'm afraid of the power of spirit, really. We don't always consciously realize that that's what often we're afraid of, is the power and the light, not so much the familiar darkness and the idea of powerlessness. And so, you know, my sister, who's very... I would say energetically and spiritually very sensitive, to my dismay, gave up meditation because, not that it has anything to do with me, but she just told me about how she was meditating and she stopped. And I said, why did you stop? And she said, because I could hear my blood moving in my body and it freaked me out. And I was like, intriguing, go deeper. No. So, you know, it's some of those things can really scare us along the way, that sort of phenomenon of spirit, right? But what a beautiful gift she was given, the depth of that concentration and the awareness of the body and the light and the energy of spirit moving through the body. I mean, all of that is one of the many gifts that can be given to us, visions and dreams and awakenings and an ability to know and to see and to open to the greater love and the light that wants to be seen and known in us and through us in this world. And so to be not afraid of the places that your spiritual practice may take you. Be not afraid of the phenomenon. It's just phenomenon. The real guts, the truth, the I am, the Christ, the divine, whatever you want to call it, is there through that phenomenon for us to recognize, to claim, to let go of what is not truly us. So fear not, be not afraid of all these things, of following the guidance that we get. So often we get so confused about that God's will, my will thing. You know, God's will is your will. It's the heart of your heart's will. It's the truth of what your soul wants. You may think on the surface there's some other personal idea that's in conflict, but do not be afraid to surrender completely, because the call will take you to places you could have never imagined that are sweeter and more, I don't even know the word. I've lost the words, you know. It's wordless, really. It's beyond words, because it's an experience. And it's experience of that brilliance of light and the profoundness of love and the depth of peace and the rock solid knowing of faith. When we say yes and yes and yes to each of these little fears that crops up along the way, and we just move through all kinds of possibility into a kind of promised land that is right here on earth. That's what we mean when we say heaven on earth. It's a claiming, it's a bringing forth, it's an allowing through us and as us. And the faith walk is a lot about that. Faith is really kind of a process. It's there for us, but it's an uncovering process. And hope is sort of a strain of that in the process. So hope, it is said, is faith that hasn't said its prayers. So again, it still has a place, you know, it's still a good thing. And it's from our kind of solely human sort of perspective, with maybe a little tinge of divinity. And then we walk closer and it opens further. Zechariah's story is very much about the process. Zechariah was a well-known and well-loved priest. And Lot asked him one day to go into the sanctuary and light the incense before the service began as the people waited outside. And as he was lighting the incense, much as you might imagine here, as we have angel images all around us, an angel appeared, Angel Gabriel, and said to Zechariah, "Your prayers have been answered." And so you can imagine, if you were Zechariah, you might be thinking, which one? Surely not that one that my wife Elizabeth and I prayed a long time ago, you know, many decades ago. Oh, yes, it's that one. What? And so he wonders out loud, you know, speaks hopes, fears out loud. You know, well, I hope Elizabeth isn't too old to safely have a child, and I hope we're not really too old to raise a child. And in the minute that he begins to verbalize these fears, he's struck dumb. He cannot speak. And for the whole pregnancy, he remains silent. It's as if, you know, you're not going to get it out here, so go further within and take that walk from that inward space. And so, of course, he does. He has no choice but to do that. And when the time comes that John the Baptist, who is the child-to-be, this prophet, is born through Elizabeth, everybody looks to Elizabeth and says, "What's the child's name?" And she says, "John." And they all look at each other and say, "John? You don't, John, it's not Zechariah. I mean, it's not somebody in your family. You don't have a John in your family." I mean, everybody in the village knows each other's family business, right? So it's like, there's no John in your family. I mean, this is not tradition, you know? Completely unconventional, not okay with the crowds, you know? And so they look to Zechariah and they say, "What's going on with Elizabeth? We know that's not the name, right?" And Zechariah writes on a piece of paper, "His name is John." And immediately he can speak. Because he carries the truth and he allows that truth to be expressed through him. You know, and when that truth comes through us in that way, in full integrity, in full faith, it's a demonstration of his faith. Yes, during my quiet time, I learned something. I went from fear to hope to faith. And I'm following the lead of what I've been told, the guidance I've been given. I'm fully embracing it now. So when we say, "I hope you get home okay," and we move into faith, it says, "I know you will get home safely." When we say, "I hope I get a job soon," that's one way of saying it. But if we shift over to faith, it's, "I know the right and perfect job is coming to me now, this or something better." Sound a little stronger? "I hope I didn't hurt so-and-so's feelings," to, "I trust that we will have an open and honest conversation because our relationship matters." And so that's kind of the movement that we're talking about, the shift, the kind of shift that we're talking about. Hope turns to faith, and when it does, fear passes away. I mean, fear has a purpose too, but not something we really want to hang on to and live within, right? And so when we make that shift from hope to faith, the fear just naturally passes away. So when we are in hope, we're surviving, and when we're in faith, we're thriving. That's really the difference. And Brian Luke Seward, for one last illustration of the difference, says that faith is a house of brick with a cornerstone of confidence, and hope is a house of cards with a foundation of fear. So it's that cornerstone of confidence that we want to build upon, you know? My friend Lee Remington told me a story that has stayed with her. She's in her 60s when she told me about a book she read in eighth grade. So what an impression that must have made. And she said in the book there was a young woman who took her own life because her boyfriend broke up with her and she didn't think she could live without him and that love. And then she was shown in the story what would have happened had she not taken her life. 3 months later, she met the love of her life and lived joyously with him the rest of her living days. She also went on to become a medical doctor who cured a significant disease of the times. But that didn't happen because she took her life, because she lost hope even, and faith, and went from that place of complete fear and despair. And so this walk, this shift is so important for us. It can even be life or death. To recognize that I come with all the faith I ever will need. I come in wired for it, wired for this life, for this journey. I come with all the spiritual qualities I need. And things, yes, get put upon us or we take them upon ourselves and things get marred and blocked out and smokes and screens and ego and congested minds just kind of take over. Heavy hearts. But if we stay the course, if we keep doing the work, then that, those things fall away. That fear passes away as the shifts are made over time. It's like building a muscle, you know? I knew a woman in her 80s who used to lift weights 3 times a week, and she was so strong in every part of her body, including her back. And she said, no problem, you know, lifting groceries, bringing things into the house, gardening, doing, you know, she had no physical problems with all the things she had always done in her home. She even helped her son move an armoire downstairs and asked that she could be on the heavy end just so she could kind of prove to herself how strong her body was. But that practice is kind of the same thing, right? We keep the body strong through movement. We keep the spirit strong, the soul strong, through our spiritual practices, whatever they may be. Prayer and meditation, a common one that we reach for. But there's others too, aren't there? I know you have them. We all do. You may like to journal, or you may do yoga, or you may do other body-centered practices. You know, there's lots of practices out there. Art can become a kind of spiritual practice. Music can be a kind of, it's really anything we do that we love to do, that we do with a sense of consciousness and a sense of that co-creativity, we're in spiritual practice. Heart-centered conversation can be a spiritual practice. So whatever those practices that are that speak to you, this, as we enter this journey again every year, and today, marking that journey toward the rebirth, the revealing for ourselves, the revealing at yet another level, the truth of who we are, that bolstering our practices is a big part of it. It's an easy time at the holidays to get kind of lost in the outer, but the outer is just a constant mirror of the inner, right? The warmth, the lights, the celebration, the parties, the gifts, that's the music. It's all part of the joy and the magic of the season. So if it's getting us too haggard and too busy to be connected to that joy and that magic, then it's time to reassess and say, what could I let go of here? What is not bringing me joy in the season? And what is really mine to do? And what will give me the spaciousness to also have my practices buoyed up during this journey? So there's an element too in faith of surrender. You know, So faith has this sort of confidence. It has that sense of that cornerstone of confidence, that sense of knowing in the heart, the sense of truth that we're standing on. And so all of that sounds really strong and it sounds really certain, but it also has to have a little bit of surrender to it. Otherwise, it becomes, perhaps, can shift into more of a, like an ego kind of confidence, not so much a spiritual kind of confidence, which can be a subtle difference, you know? And so the surrender piece is that also there's a mystery. You know, there's a magic and a mystery to all of it. So yes, I have faith and I know all is well. I know everything will turn out. I don't know all the details of how it will turn out. You know, Zachariah and Elizabeth prayed for years. They had faith, but at one point they said, okay, well, we accept. That's not the way it's going. Something else is going to happen. And then, boom, around comes their prayer again, much later. And so now faith again. Well, we put this out at one time. Let's find our faith again in this. And surrender into the magic and the mystery as well. So when things do come to fruition, it's not like, yeah, I knew it was coming, you know? I mean, that's part of faith, is like, I know that I know, but there's still that sort of surprise, you know? There's still that kind of wow, this sort of golly, shazam. Sound familiar? Jim Nabors made his transition this week, so I thought we should tack on a shazam to our affirmation today. Let's close out with our affirmation together. I am living faith. Confident of Spirit's presence and guidance at every turn. Shazam!